So good morning. Do you all feel like conquerors? Well, perfect. Then you came to the great workshop. Yeah, that is true. Some days yes, some days no. Well, let me start with the theme verse for this workshop. It is more than a conqueror, and it's from Romans 8, 37. Know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And let me back up just a little bit to hold on here. I just read it. Oh, verse 28. Remember this. And we know that in all things, God works for good. Remember that. That's key. Because when you're in the midst of whatever you're trying to conquer, we forget that he is working all things for our good to those who love him. So I've given this workshop a couple times, but it always seems to be just a little different, and I'm not exactly sure how today's going to go, but if we're going to trust the Lord, then we got to trust him. So one of the things that, and like Nancy says, I know you're all seasoned Christians, but I want to share with you a little later in the workshop, I was also a seasoned Christian. So I know that just in our seasons, there's always something more that the Lord wants to do. He always wants to conform us more to his likeness. When Nancy and I were in Papua New Guinea, one of the highlights of that capital was that when we went into the assembly where all the government meets to make decisions, they had received a gift from a missionary in America. And it was one of the original King James translations. What a treasure. But you know, the Bible used to be in Greek and Hebrew, right? So do you have to know Greek and Hebrew to understand the Bible? Are you guys awake? No, you don't. However, as in all languages, whenever you translate things from one language to another, you sometimes not necessarily lose it, but it's really hard to convey everything precisely as it was in the original language. So it's beneficial if you can, you read it in English, but then there's other study things you can do to help it be more of a greater understanding. You can gain knowledge and stuff. Let me give you an example. How many remember, well, I'm sure you all remember, the big honking TVs, the big TV sets, right? So if you think of that as just the Bible in English, then you've updated to like a flat screen, high definition, surround sound. I mean, you're watching the same program, but that clarity that comes through in the high definition screen and the surround sound, I mean, you feel like you're right there. When you dig in and look at the different translations or the Greek and Hebrew meaning, it's like it comes to life. It's like I didn't see that there. So it's not like you're changing the Word of God. It's like you are delving into it deeper Let me give you an example of that. Ephesians 5:18 in like the English version or English translation, it says, be filled with the Spirit. But if you go back and you research that in the Greek, just because of the way that they translate verb tense and things like that, in the Greek, it means continually, be continually filled, an ongoing thing. So if you read it just in the one translation, you think be filled with the Spirit. And it's like, okay, be filled with the Spirit. I'm filled today, good to go for the rest of my life. No, what he was saying was be filled daily, continually, be filled with the Spirit. Every day, fresh and new. It's an ongoing process. So that's just one example of how you can dive in deeper to the Word. Knowing that in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every work. See, this right here, this is life and death. It's not enough to go to Sunday and get fed from the pastor. It's not enough to go to conferences, to listen to tapes, to do all these Christian things or surround yourself with all these spiritual things. That's good, but you can't do it without this. This is God-breathed. And it's amazing to think that this word right here, when God said, I sent my son in flesh, the flesh, Jesus, this is Jesus right here. Isn't that amazing? So it's not so much that you, like, know Greek and Hebrew to get, because you can have all knowledge, and you know what the word says, it's like knowledge just puffs up. But it's that by his Spirit, being filled with the Spirit continually, and that's our foundation. Part of being more than a conqueror is, how do you view yourself? What do you think about yourself? What is your attitude about yourself? I'm not going to ask you, so you can be honest. How you see yourself is very important, because if you don't see yourself as the one God created, a child of the Most High, more than a conqueror, a victor, then you need to adjust your attitude. Because that's who he made us. And if we walk in a place that it's like, oh, this happened when I was little, and you keep going back to the former things, or, you know, I remember when this was really transforming for me, because I grew up in a very conservative church. My dad was a pastor, and it's like I tried so hard to live by the letter of the law, and oh my gosh, up and down, it's like if things were going good, he loves me. If it's not going good, woe is me. If it's going good, he loves me. If it's not going good, you know, I'm damned, I'm condemned, I'm like beating myself up. No, he loves you whether you're up or down, whether you're naughty or nice or good or bad. He wants us to walk in the place of righteousness and peace and joy and stuff, but you know, we also have to live in a place that's not filled with those things, so it's a constant battle. So how you see yourself is important. So being more than a conqueror, and this is what the topic of this workshop is, ask yourself, what is your attitude when you don't feel like you are more than a conqueror? What kind of things, what's your mindset when you are facing mountains or you have something that, something unexpected happen that like rips your bubble, knocks the wind out of your sail? What is your mindset? What do you immediately go to? You know, is it a woe is me, and it takes you 4 or 5 days to come around to, you know, get back up on your feet? You know, it's kind of a fine line because we're human. We're spiritual beings, but we're also given emotions that help us to feel pain and love and hurt and compassion. So when bad things happen, it's like it's going to impact us, but that's not where we're supposed to stay. That's not our dwelling place. I'm just giving you a few little things because I'm going to come back to them in a greater depth. You know where it talks about Paul saying, you know, neither death nor life, trouble or hardship or persecution or nakedness or danger or anything can separate me from the love of God. That is the kind of attitude we need to have when we are faced with those things that are before us that we need to conquer or are trying to conquer. And if you look, like I said, if you study things out a little bit more in Greek or Hebrew, trouble, things that disturb you, things that agitate you, things that stir you up. Do you ever get stirred up? Things that cause an inner perplexing, an emotional agitation. You know, sometimes it's things, sometimes it's people. Persecution literally means, in the Greek, literally means to hunt or to bring someone down like an animal. Have you ever been persecuted? Hunted down like an animal? How do you conquer that? I mean, yeah, you want to consider the things you've done, but, you know, if you've really not done anything, especially deliberately, what do you do when you're hunted down? How do you become more than a conqueror in that? All of those things, this is how. Through him who loved us. Now that seems pretty simple, huh? That's like my whole workshop. It's like be more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Easy. Easy if you're dead and you're in eternity and you're not in the human form that we're in. Through him means that you're not struggling on your own. No angels, no demons, not present or future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation. I mean, that pretty much sums up anything that you'll ever encounter. nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. It's Romans 8:38. Go back to the verse I read earlier. And we know that all things God works for good. See, we get in these trials or these places where we're hunted like an animal, and we forget that, you know what? Because I am in him and I'm his, he is working all things for good. Okay, so how about everyday things? Who woke up today and said, today I'm going to be less than a conqueror? Yet we walk around sometimes and we believe that. We don't voice it like that, but our attitude, our actions, you know, when the heat's turned up, where do we turn to? Do we turn to complaint? Do we get on the phone or social media or whatever means you use to make sure somebody else knows such and such happened to you? What's your first reaction? Because you know that the devil doesn't know what you're thinking, but he knows your reaction. He knows what comes out of your mouth. So if your first reaction is to complain or cuss or throw things or whatever, blame, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it could be subtle, it could be extreme. Is your reaction outward or it's inward? And it's like, Lord, I know this sucks, but I also know that you said you work out all things for my good. And that's where my confidence is. That's where my attitude is. I'm going to stand on that. No, come hell or high water, that is my declaration. It's not easy. It's a conscious effort you have to do. And, you know, don't condemn yourself when you find yourself going down the broken record thing and it's like, woe is me and so-and-so did this and this and that. You know, you find yourself there, get back on track. He is a God that, he doesn't expect perfection. I mean, if he did, he would never have created us. He knew we were going to fail. We'll never be perfect. That should be a big relief. But our heart is to repent and be sorry and walk in the mind of Christ and keep continually being filled with the Spirit, filled up, fresh and new. It's like if we fell down this step, we can get up again and walk. Not because of who we are, not because of our strength, but because of him in us. And you know, when you're going through those crises, it's like, Lord, where are you? I'm trying to get up. I'm feeling like I'm using all of my own strength. Where are you in this? He's right there. And there's a thing called faith. And without it, it's impossible to please God. He knows what we're going to do, but he gives us those little trials, those little steps to build our faith so that we recognize that, you know what? He was there. He did help me. Didn't feel like it, didn't see it, didn't sense it. But I know by faith he was there and he carried me through. The Lord has given us promises in His Word. And when you're faced with those things that you don't know how you're going to conquer them, that's the time to pull down the promises, when you can't see the ending, but you know His promises are true, unless He's a liar. And He is not a liar. So either your attitude and my attitude is not in line with Him, or He's wrong. That's a no-brainer. His Word is alive and active. Whatever has happened in your life, it's almost a setup for you to be more than a conqueror. You know, sometimes we do things that, out of our own choice or our own stupidity, that all of a sudden we're faced in a situation that, you know, we have to be more than a conqueror. Other things, you know, just for whatever reason, just happen. You know, accidents, getting sideswiped, things you never plan for. I mean, who plans to be less than a conqueror, right? Who plans for an accident? But, you know, you've got some things that by your behavior, by your choices, you're just setting yourself up for failure, basically. But then you've got another side that you didn't choose it, but you're faced with it. In the verse about being more than a conqueror, Paul is literally saying, instead of being victims, barely getting by, we are that more than a conqueror's. In the Greek, that's a whole, basically a whole word. That phrase is a whole word. It's over and above victorious, super victors. Who wants to barely get by? We want to be super victors. Not want to be, that's who we are. That is what's available to us if we will pull it down and believe it. But it's not going to happen unless you get in the Word for yourself. And like I said before, I know you're all seasoned Christians, but I want to tell you something. We can get so set in our ways that we pick up the Word just like it's an ordinary book, and, okay, I've read, I've done my devotion, and out I go. To be more than a conqueror means to gain a surpassing victory. I don't know if any of you have seen the Olympics or the news rerun about the women's 400 meter, and they were neck and neck at the finish line, and the one girl just dove, and that dive caused her to win. I mean, she was super victorious, but it wasn't by a lot. But wouldn't it be nice to be in a race and be way out ahead of your opponents, way out ahead of your enemy? Wouldn't that be nice? We have that available to us. So like I said earlier, it's easy to be a conqueror when things are going well, but when they're not, you wonder what you've done or what you could have done or should have done, or, you know, woe is me. And But remember, God works all things. My first year of teaching, growing up, I said, you know, I'm never moving to Alaska. Well, that was for a whole nother reason. I was mad at my dad. But my mom's like, you know what? He doesn't know it. He doesn't know that you're hurt. It's only hurting you. So you're going to have to decide, are you going to forgive him or not? And anyway, so not only did I hate Alaska, what did I do? I moved to Alaska and moved out to the bush. I'll show him. But the course that I had taken, you know, I never wanted to be a teacher because I never wanted kids to slip through the cracks, you know. But so I pursued a career in X-ray technology and got all the way to my clinics and clinicals, and it's like, you know what, this is not what I want to do. Long story short, went into teaching and started in the bush, Alaska, meaning, you know, there's no road system in, you have to fly in. Very isolated. But I didn't care, I was kind of a loner anyway. But all I wanted to do is, you know, fresh out of school, I just wanted to teach. That's all I wanted to do. I mean, it was great. There was really nothing else to do on the island I was, so it was like, you know, just nonstop doing what I needed to do for teaching. But I tell you, there was some friction in the people that were there, someone new coming in, and whatever I did to offend them, it was like, man, they were like having powwows. Now, I thought powwow at that time was, oh, they're going to have a potluck. And she's like, no, they're going to talk about you. So it's like, okay. But so that, back to that being persecuted, I was like a hunted animal, you know, and alone. And it's like all I had was the word. And I can say at that time, I would probably not say that I was spirit-filled, but I had the you know, Jesus was my Lord. I walked by the word, but I didn't know how to be more than a conqueror. It's like I was trying to do it in my own strength. But that incident caused me to, you know, make a change. I went to another school district, and this school, to give you an idea of how bad it was, it was at that time in the in America, their standardized test scores were at the bottom. A lot of incest in the village. It was like a village that, you know, a lot of kids just dumped in there. Nobody wanted them. A lot of cognitive challenges, physical disabilities, just the lowest of the lowest. I mean, just like a melting pot of people throw back. I didn't know any difference. So I thought, you know what, half the class is special ed, and the other half could be if there was a big enough difference. So I thought, well, you know, I better get some more training, and then I'll be able to, you know, go back in the regular ed classroom and help more kids, right? That hardship that I went through, let me fast forward a little bit. I went to a meeting in the area where my husband and I had just moved, and they were trying to start a GLOW. And, you know, things were pretty new in the charismatic realm and stuff, so, but I was hungry. And I go to this meeting, and this lady is talking about this village afterwards, and it was Nancy, and, you know, I didn't know Nancy at the time, but afterwards when I went up and I was talking to her and she was telling me that, you know, one of the assignments the Lord has her do is, it's like he tells her to go to these places where there's been injustices on the land and to go and pray and make it right. And she's like, I went to this place, Tuluk, and I'm like, Tuluksak? It's like, nobody goes there. You know, I had been there probably 15 years prior, but it's like nobody goes there. See, I saw the manifestation of what happened of the injustices years ago. And I can tell you now, I saw in the news several years after she'd been there, that school was on the rise. That community was on the rise because there had been repentance on the land, because that grieved the Lord's heart. Well, I just did. Years ago, yeah, 100 years prior, Nancy's vision was that they were, baby carts turned over, old snow machine, just debris in the river, just every kind of, just like I said in the natural, it was just a dumping pot of the mentally ill, the physical disability, those that were unwanted by society. That's where they ended up. The orphans, the widows, you name it. That grieved the Lord's heart. But that's not my whole point in this. My whole point is, had I not gone through the hardship my first year, I would have never transferred to another school, by choice. I would have never gone into special ed. I would have never, connected with Nancy where I am now. And by the way, special ed, just graduated. Yeah, I feel like I graduated. 25 years in special ed, almost all of that in special ed. And that has been my training and equipping for what I'm doing right now. Now, if you would have told me that, years ago, that, guess what? You're going to need to be more than a conqueror in this situation, because years down the road, this is what you're going to be doing. I would have never believed it. But that more than a conqueror is a step-by-step process. See, I had a choice my first year of teaching, because it would crushed me. I mean, my passion was teaching, but it's like I was crushed. I had a choice. I could have given up, or I could have, pushed on. Thank God I pushed on. When I started this workshop, I was trying to think, in history, I know that there are a lot of people that, live their life more than conquerors, and it's like the Wright brothers dropped into my spirit. It's like the Wright brothers. So I started to research a lot about them. They supposedly invented the first airplane, but technically not. They just developed the ability to control flying things, things in flight. Anyway, I learned some interesting things about them. They were from her. The father was a bishop. They were raised in a God-fearing home, and Wilbur had plans. He had big plans. He was going to go to Yale. He was going to become a clergyman. But when he was a teen, they were just playing a game of street hockey, and he got a good portion of his teeth knocked out, severe facial injuries. That totally derailed him. He never graduated. He never went on to Yale. He never pursued the things and the dreams and the things that were in him. But he became self-taught. And both him and his brother had multitudes of failures. They spent years and years of trial and error, and they went to, I'm trying to think of the name of it, it was in Ohio, but they actually had to go for a certain amount of time when the conditions were right and the weather was right and things like that, to actually put into practice their experiments. So they've got limited time. And when Sunday rolls around, it's like perfect conditions. But that was set aside for the Lord's Day. See, we want to be more than a conqueror, but we want to do it when we want, how we want. And we don't put God first sometimes. It's like he's our, yeah, he's in our plans, but it's like he's not the one that we meet with first and then do what's before us. But the Wright brothers had something so ingrained in them that this was the Lord's day. And I'm not saying, you know, stop everything and Sunday and be religious there. That's not what I'm saying. But they had a plan. They were trying to conquer something, but they also had a plan to put God first, regardless of the conditions or the opportunities that were before them. You know, it wasn't until thousands of, you know, trial and error before they actually went back to the drawing board and they scrapped all the data, all the prior experiments from what they've done, from other aeronautical experts, what they've done. They totally threw it out. And they went back and looked at and studied God's creation in birds. But they had to throw out everything they knew, everything they trusted on, everything they relied on. To be more than conquerors, sometimes we have to throw out everything we know. Tradition, religion, what we were taught. You know, we just have to go back and say, Lord, start over with this. Because I've got this mindset, and I've got this data up here, and I'm running off this data. And the end result, I am not being more than a conqueror. We have to throw out our upbringing and sometimes, you know, and that's hard. I know my husband teaches middle school, and he always starts a year by saying to the kids, you know, you got to have a certain connection with teenagers, right? So he always says, you know, I just want to let you know I'm a freak. But he says, it's not my fault. It was my upbringing. My parents are freaks too. See, sometimes we are so much like what we were shaped and formed. And that's good. But sometimes the Lord wants to take us, not sometimes, he wants to build upon, reshape and reform. You know, he doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. He took all my experiences, all my highs and lows, and reshaped them, remolded me, put me back on the potter's wheel. Those things that we would rather not go through, he works all things for good. Another another one that I came across of in history that really made an impact was Dr. Moon. Anybody know who Dr. Moon is? He was stricken with blindness at a later age, and this is what he said. Lord, I accept this talent of blindness for thee. Help me to use it for thy glory, that at thy coming thou mayest receive thine own with usury. Then he said, God enabled him to invent the moon alphabet for the blind, to which thousands of blind people were enabled to read the word of God. See, that type of braille came about the same time frame is Braille. But Braille was more complex, and most people at that era, their blindness was at a later time in life, and it was very hard for the elderly to learn Braille because it was much more complex. Moon was much more simplified. See, had he not been blind, there would have been a whole lot of people that missed out on their salvation because they couldn't have read the Word of God. He used what he had. He used what he called a talent for God's glory. We have to, if we can just get our eyes off ourselves, because we're so naturally just me, 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 he's got a much better picture. When I was doing this workshop, I know my mom is more than a conqueror, and her life has been an example. And I said, "Mom, could you just write me just a few notes why you think you're more than a conqueror?" Now, keep in mind, my dad was a pastor. He's since passed, but this is what she wrote. "Ways I know I was a conqueror, because I know the Lord was watching over me, though I didn't feel like it all the time. When I was rejected by the one I loved more than life itself," that was my dad. "When I was 7 months pregnant and served divorce papers, and I didn't want the divorce, I didn't want to live. When I had to face everyone and was accused of something that was untrue and faced each day in the time of heartache, Scripture strengthened me." See, she was pregnant, and my dad denied that it was hers, and we lived in a little town. So can you imagine a pastor's wife, 7 months pregnant, my dad denying it was his, and now you got to keep in mind, I mean, my mom, she is the most God-fearing person. And she loved my dad with all her heart. Heck, she had 5 kids running around. When's she going to have time, you know? Not to fill in the blanks, but she said, "I cried so many tears, but the word says the Lord keeps my tears in a bottle. Mine must be pretty big. Having my kids keeps me going, and the Lord's faithfulness to supply all my needs was my reason to go on. I was a conqueror, but I had to learn to do things on my own for the first time in my life." You know, I know a lot of you know that I was burned severely in 2011, and because I did something stupid, you know, stupid accident. And it wasn't so much the burn. I mean, I walked through the burn center, and I saw people, their whole body bandaged, suspended, and, you know, just with cables, and feeling pretty lucky. I mean, you know, they did the skin grafts from my leg to my neck, and I was all bandaged. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're in the hospital or you're sick for a bit. It's almost like I felt like as soon as I got home, it was gonna be better. Like I was getting over the flu or something. But it didn't happen that way. And for the next probably, I don't know, 2-3 years, it was a struggle. And, I mean, from simple things like even trying to get the medication right, because it's like, you know, what helped, I was sleeping all the time or going to therapy or, you know, having this totally gnarled neck, totally gnarled, always pulling down, always in pain, and not even recognizing who I was. I mean, it didn't look like me. Having a prophecy that the Lord's going to give you a new neck. Well, is it going to be because I'm just going to come to terms with what I look like? Is it going to be like he's going to snap his fingers, not snap his fingers, but, you know, instantly give me back the neck that I had before? Because I wasn't finding anything surgically to help me. And it's like trying to hold on to that word, trying to hold on because I know his promises are true. I know that his prophetic words, if you pull them down for yourself, are true. But we've got a part to do in it. But it's like, how am I going to get from the state I'm in to being more than a conqueror? It's a process. It was a daily challenge. And if you could have seen what it looked like, I mean, white is white, you know, that like marble white from here down here, spots all over my back, my arms. I mean, it was, my flesh was gone. But I have a new neck. My belly, but, you know, it works. I don't, you know, I think of being more than a conqueror, and I think, you know, that really wasn't even my biggest challenge in life. I grew up in a Christian home. Like I said, my dad was a pastor. I read the Bible. I tithed. I went to church even after I left and went to college and on my own. I did the things that Christians do. I know that I was in a church full of people, but I also knew where I was in the stronghold that was on my life. And it's like, didn't matter what I did, you know, this was years ago, but it didn't matter what I did, I could not become more of a conqueror in that area of my life. And it's like we as people in the church sometimes look at the obvious things like, oh, so you are into pornography. No, no, no. So you are a murderer. You know, put them in jail. So you gossip and you kill people with words and tear them down. That's okay. You know, we tend to put a standard on what's okay and what's not okay or what's accepted in the church and not accepted in the church. So sitting in a church, knowing my struggle, it's not going to be on the acceptable list. I was hidden. I felt like I didn't have any help. But here's the good news. What I did have was my upbringing, and I had the Word of God. And so I was so desperate. All I had was the Word. I didn't have a group of people. I went to work, I went home. I went to work, I went home. I was married, but, you know, I mean, Mitch couldn't help me. I had to help myself. To be more than a conqueror, nobody could do it for me. I had to help myself. And the only source I had, I'd tried everything else, the only source I had was the Word of God. So I got the Word out and begin to read it differently. Okay, Lord, if you are the deliverer, if you say you are the deliverer, then that's who you have to be. Did it happen overnight? No. And I often wondered, Lord, I'm getting up every day. I'm reading your word. I'm calling out to you. I'm praying. Why aren't you working on my behalf? You say you are. You say you're the deliverer, but where are you working in this? I felt like I was trying to conquer by myself. I kept a journal. And, you know, if you don't journal, I would encourage you, because it's amazing to see how God can, you know, things you've written or prayed, and then on this particular thing, 40 days later to the day, it's like, have I not taken the thing that made you stagger? And it was just like that. You know, when you fish and you get a snag, and that verse, it was just like that line was cut. He was there all the time. He was building me up. And you know what? That was something that I had to be more than a conqueror at. Being burned, I had to learn to be more than a conqueror. But I tell you what, I would not trade those things for anything, because if I did, I wouldn't know the power of his word. I know that you have had struggles and trials, and if you haven't, you probably will have, especially if you pursue the Lord. Because see, years ago, I had in my heart that all I wanted to be was the woman of God that he intended me to be, because that's what was instilled in me. There's nothing that will ever satisfy you but God. So, you know, I've been swinging here and swinging there, but in my heart, I had that desire to be exactly who God intended me to be. And I'm not there yet. I have a long way to go. The more I learn, the more I realize, the more I don't know. But had I not gone through that, I wouldn't play the guitar. I wouldn't sing. And it's like, I don't care if it's for anybody else, but that's what builds me up. That's what he did to put me on the potter's wheel and said, hey, can I not reshape you and form you? Am I not the potter? When we are going along in our Christian walk, we're trying to do the best we can. One of the things that most easily snares us is when somebody offends us or someone offends us that we love. Would you agree? I mean, we're fine if everything is kosher and stuff, but when we get our feathers ruffled or we're offended in some way, what is our reaction going to be? Well, this is what I learned, and this goes back to, if you look in the Greek or you look in the Hebrew, dig a little bit deeper, there's a verse in Psalms 139 that says, search me, O Lord, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Offense. Do you know what that is? I mean, you know what it is. It's like I just said, you get your feathers ruffled. But you know what else it is? It's this right here. If you can see this prop down here, this basket propped up. Offense, in the Greek, it's the bait stick of the trap. See, life happens and storms all around. It's right here. It's a trap for us. But our reaction, that stick is an offense. Are we going to kick the stick? Then it becomes a trap. Being more than a conqueror is in our daily life. When things come, storms, circumstances, are we kicking the stick, so we're trapped? Does that make sense? I mean, that was such a revelation, that to think of this right here, if you can't see it, this is an offense. You know what? So the offense happens. So you don't bother it. It can't take the hold on you. Don't kick the stick. You know, Nancy was sharing this morning that if you want more, there's more. We are not perfect. We have not arrived. So if you don't know this, there is way more than we can even comprehend. But it's not going to happen unless we allow God to completely strip us. And let me give you this bit of hope, parents or grandparents or friends. If you have people that you know are trying to be more than conquerors or in that place where they're not even trying to conquer, they keep going around with things that just have a hold on their life. Sometimes you have to hit the bottom before you can get rooted again. So don't be discouraged if you've had, you know, promises over your kids and what they're going to be when they, the power they're going to walk in. And it doesn't look like that at all. You can't do it for them. Sometimes we have to be stripped before so we can get rid of ourselves. There is a verse in Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So familiar, you know? It's a familiar verse. We all trust in the Lord. But the challenge is when the conquering comes, we want to hold on to what's familiar and safe. It's really hard to let go and just feel like you're totally suspended without a plan going forward, without a net behind you. That's trusting in the Lord and leaning not on your own understanding. You can't figure it out. I have for you a symbol of a white flag. Maybe you need it today. Maybe you'll need it tomorrow. But if you're serious about being more than a conqueror, and I know that, I know you have all already conquered things, and you know, but I also know that if you're pursuing the fire of the Holy Spirit, the devil is not going to leave you alone. He can't defeat you. We are more than conquerors. We are super victorious. But we also have to surrender and do it God's way and lean not on our own understanding. If you have something that you're going through, something that is a mountain, and you have no idea how to get through it, I won't ask you what it is, but write it down. Write it down. Right now, write it on your notebook. We pass these out. This flag that Uda is going to pass out is just a symbol of a white flag that you can carry around or stick in your Bible, or when you get to that place when you're like, you don't know what to do, you feel like you're working on your own behalf, wave that white flag and surrender. It's a sign to yourself. It's a sign to the Lord that you're serious about laying down what you're trying to conquer and letting him be the strength and the might and the power in you, and leaning not on your own understanding. If you don't have anything that comes to mind, you will eventually. But don't kick the offense and set the trap. This song is called Be Intimate with Him, because that's your source. You wave your white flag and be intimate with him. How do you be intimate with someone? It's very simple, in the sense that you spend time with them. You might not understand it at the time, but you can't lean on your own understanding. So just close your eyes and listen to the Lord. And let him make you more than a conqueror, because you're going to receive an impartation, an activation. And remember, it's easier to be more than a conqueror when it's going well. One of my favorite quotes of Wilbur Wright was, No bird soars in the calm. No bird soars in the calm. It's those storms that cause us to soar. To bring heaven on earth. Home is that place of perfect peace in him.